Hello, and welcome to Pinecone Podcast, where we have conversations about issues that are important to you, like faith and family, religion and relationships, Christianity and the church, and a whole lot more. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy Art, Wes, and Lacey as they have a conversation on Evergreen's Pinecone Podcast. Okay, here we are. Today's topic on our program is going to be faith in the workplace. We're going to talk about how does your faith affect how you work? Should it affect how you work? Your worth ethic, business practices. We might look at, even though your career is not necessarily ministry, could it be your ministry? And actually, we're just going to kind of see where that takes us. And I'm here today with Lacey, sitting in the studio.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. It's been a good week. It's so sunny today. I love it.
Perfect. Perfect weather. And it's a good topic, good timing for us to be talking about faith in the workplace, because some of our listeners might be able to hear there's some roofing work going on.
If you listen very closely.
Yes. So that's not us like beating the table or banging our head against the wall. It's actually work.
Yes, work being done.
There it is, being done. And the Bible says a lot about work. I don't know that we're going to get into the necessity or the things that's not what our topic is. Mm-hmm. But even from the beginning, you know, Adam and Eve were placed in the garden to work.
Yeah.
And so Lacey, I'm gonna make you start out.
Okay.
So, what made you want to talk necessarily about faith in the workplace?
Well, I think a lot of our listeners, that is their daily life, is having a job, getting up every morning, going to work, fulfilling some calling that they have, and also loving on their families. And we got to talk about homeschooling and how we can kind of, that is something that I'm investing my time in. That's my work right now, but that's not everybody's life. So right. There are a lot of people like you who get up and go to work and, So I was just thinking of something that might be relatable to our listeners and wanted to make sure that we talked about that.
Sure. How important is faith in the workplace? I think is kind of what you're looking at. Or how do you react or how do you act in the workplace? I think about, I start off with the story. This is like 30 years ago. I'm like when I was, what, about eight, I guess.
Eight.
I worked in a factory and.
At eight.
Okay. I might have been a little older
just
than
kidding.
Eight.
Just kidding. Go ahead.
Been a little
Sorry,
older
I'm
than
listening.
Eight. But I worked in this factory and, of course, it was a typical factory setting. Mm-hmm. If anybody who's worked in a factory, if you've seen it on TV or know someone who is, you know, lots of not Christ-like attitudes are in factories.
Sure.
And I'm not here to judge that or say anything about it, or even to say that I had the best attitude. I'm probably the last person that actually should be talking about this. But I remember a guy that worked there. Of course, I was probably about 22 at the time. And he seemed older. He's probably not even as old as I am now, but he seemed like he was. But everybody called him Brother Braxton. His last name was Braxton. And the reason is he called everybody brother or sister. Hmm. He also was a Baptist minister. Hmm. So when you walked in, if he'd seen you 100 times and you worked actually directly for him, he was one of the supervisors. Or if you just were like just someone to just happen to pass by, everybody was brother and sister. And a lot of people would complain about that at first. Hmm. I remember one girl that came in and she started working with us and she's like, she was offended because he was calling her sister. She's like, I'm not his sister. And someone else explained to her, he calls everybody that. He doesn't mean anything by it.
Right.
And she's like, well, I'm not religious. And they were even like, I don't think he says it because he's, quote, religious. But he just considers everybody to be his brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I called him brother. He called me brother, of course. But what stood out about me with that, and what I've kind of always tried to kind of pattern my own work life, never once did he like try to convert anybody. Never once did he start spouting off, you should be going to church. If someone said or did something that was, you know, quote, sinful,
mm-hmm.
he wasn't judgmental or saying you shouldn't do that. He never, it's probably not fair to say he never really invited anybody to his church because everybody was kind of spread out.
Right, but maybe it was a little more relational.
Yeah, but yeah, he just simply loved people.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was his brother and his sister, and everybody knew it. And nobody bad-mouthed him. Nobody, like, hated on him.
Right. It's interesting, I think, that you're bringing up that sometimes people can take offense to that very quickly, and I wonder if it's just because sometimes when the gospel is shining through you, specifically in your workplace, because that's where a lot of us end up meeting with people who don't necessarily share our faith, you know, in our own home lives, where we can kind of be in a bubble of people who talk like us, think like us,
right,
whatever. But when we go to work, we meet with people who have a lot of different viewpoints. And so when the gospel is shining through us, it can be offensive to other people without you even pushing any sort of faith.
Right.
It's just convicting of its own right, which I think is interesting.
Sometimes people are anxious to disprove you.
Yeah.
I think if you go in, because I've also seen people that come in spouting the gospel, and there's nothing, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
But they find themselves challenged more.
Yeah.
And then if they do anything wrong, then someone's going to say, oh, you know, I thought they were a Christian, or I thought you were a Christian. Or sometimes, I've seen this too, they could do something right,
mm-hmm.
and they would just throw it back. Well, yeah, you just got religion, that's why you why you don't do that. And so I think that's what Brother Braxton kind of stood out with me about that. Nobody really did that with him. Because he was simply modeling or living, you know, his faith.
Sort of a servant attitude of mm-hmm. just loving the people around him, which I think is really where our ministry in the workplace lies, is not necessarily going out there trying to convert every person you see at work. Right. It is modeling an attitude of servant leadership, of love, and a good work ethic. All of those things are important in modeling the gospel to the people around you, because you want people to question, why is that person acting like that? Why is that person working like that? You know, the rest of us are all over here taking extra 15-minute breaks. Why does that person keep going when they don't necessarily have to?
Sure.
Being a servant leader in the workplace, I think, is really where the ministry lies. Have you ever had any experiences where you have been challenged from your faith in the workplace? Or
this doesn't exactly answer that question.
Okay.
But this is experience something that I used to work as a regional manager in a retail store, and one of the stores that I went to, this was like in Georgia, was where the store was. But the manager, she was one of those that was, every other sentence had to be something about her faith. But she made a comment several times. She would talk about when her sales were up, how God blessed her.
Hmm.
And she's just like, and one day it just kind of struck me wrong, I guess. But I was there in her store. Store was doing really well. And she said, our sales have been up for the last few months. God's just really blessing us. And I said, are you telling me that another store, and there happened to be a store just about 10 miles from her, the sales were down? And I asked that specifically, that God's not blessing them? And she had no answer to that.
Hmm.
And I was like, you know, does God, a year ago when your sales weren't good, was God not blessing you then?
Right.
Does he just bless you just based on what your sales are? And she couldn't really answer that. And you know, we're not going to get into the prosperity gospel like discussion, but I think that's kind of where she was. She just saw, you know, God blessing her, kind of like we heard in our sermon yesterday. You know, she was looking for what she could get. She was looking for the blessings of mm-hmm. God.
And I think having your sales up, while it is a great thing,
oh, sure,
isn't the only way.
That's not the only measure of God's blessing.
It's not the only measure of God's blessing. It's not the only way that you can be a blessing to other people through the work that you're doing. Just by, you know, you want to do your best for your employer, and you want your, you know, talks a ton about that in the Bible of, you know, serving your master well. We don't use that language anymore where there's like a slave master, but like serving your boss well, because that points people back to Jesus. And so I think in that situation, it would just be really important for her to know why she believed that. You know, I'm trying to be faithful. It's an interesting experience.
Yeah. Of course, then she, of course, you know, that made her challenge me. Maybe I didn't have the faith to.
Maybe.
But you were telling me about, like, when you, you said we talked a couple weeks ago about you being a homeschool mom.
Yeah.
But you've actually worked a job.
Yes. I don't work anymore. I've gone home and I just sit on the couch and eat bonbons. No. My work has changed, but I did work outside the home. I worked in two different public universities in Pennsylvania. At one, I worked doing some database spreadsheet computer nerdy things. And at the other one, I was the housing assignment coordinator. And I have a ton of respect for Christians working in specifically public universities, because that's one of the, like, I think, most volatile grounds. Mm-hmm. Or kind of like the front lines, if you will, of just the tension going on in our society over religion and those who just choose not to believe those things. There really is a battle for the souls of every kid that steps on that campus, which is one of the reasons I wanted to talk about faith in the workplace, because I think everything we do really comes back to loving people into the kingdom. And so not being a full-time pastor, or not being, having a place, a ministry specifically through the church, doesn't mean that you're not a missionary or a minister. You're wherever God has placed you is an opportunity to love people into the kingdom of God. And so I did have that opportunity to try to, use my position to love people, to listen to them. There's a lot. I always had my door open. A lot of people coming in just trying to talk with me about things they might struggle with. There were definitely some policies at the public universities that were, not necessarily anti-faith, but it didn't line up with my worldview, I guess, is the way that I would describe it. And so there was certainly some tension and some things I needed to pray through about, okay, God, how do I best love the people in these situations? How do I best carry out the job that's been entrusted to me, and still honor your word and what you're doing on this campus? One of the neat things, when I was in college, I was involved in an organization called the Coalition for Christian Outreach. It's the CCO. They have people on campuses in Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Ohio, and I think they're even stretching out different places. But I think they have things like RUF, Reformed. Do you remember what it was?
Probably Reformed University Fellowship.
Yes, that one. There's different things like that where I think, as a church, we're realizing that one of those battlegrounds is the university. And so teaching people to live out their faith through their vocation, through their calling, has been an important ministry, because you want people to realize, like, you're not just here learning about this, whatever you're studying, just to make money. You're right here learning how to do this. And we want to help you see how that fits into the kingdom of God. We want to teach you how that, how you fit in the body, whenever you're out there doing what God has called you to do. So I feel like I've kind of jumped topics a little bit there, but I know that there's a lot of people out there going, God, like, am I really making a difference? Yeah. Am I making a difference from your kingdom, for your kingdom, in this, you know, shoe store or in this Dollywood theme park or whatever it is you're doing?
And what you have to think about is, like, someone who's in ministry, like the pastor or an evangelist, whoever, is never gonna is not as likely to get a chance to talk to those people that are in the park or that are teachers or at the place, because they may never go to church.
Right.
So you have a chance to have an impact on people.
And another thing, we in our church, we have a ton of small business owners, which I think is amazing, because there's a lot of opportunity to reach the millions of people that come through Sevierville, Pigeon Forge, and Gatlinburg every year. But even running your business in a way that honors God, I think about Chick-fil-A and just the way that they have their, you know, are they perfect? No, they're not perfect. But I think they are trying to honor God with the way they run their business. They try to teach their employees to be servant leaders, to see a need, meet a need. It's one of the things I've been talking with my kids about. Like, if you see something that needs to be taken care of, take care of it without being asked. And I think that that's, you know, just teaching people to love the people that they're serving. It just brings such honor to the gospel. And it brings a light to the gospel that wouldn't have been there otherwise if that business wasn't trying to honor God with what they're doing.
And there's little things you can do too, like in your work. I don't know what, so we won't necessarily, I don't really know how to say this, but like giving stuff away. So, you know, you're talking about small business leaders, but just people that are working anywhere and just honoring your workplace. Just because someone walks in and they're your buddy, you know, you give them free stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, everybody does it. The company doesn't mind.
Yeah.
Whatever. But what message does that send?
Right. You want to be a person of integrity in the work that you're doing, for sure.
Yeah. So it's not always big contracts or big.
Right. It's how you live out the small everyday decisions. Andrew Peterson and his group of friends call it a long obedience in the same direction. You know, it's just a bunch of small decisions that you're making every day to keep walking toward God and take as many people with you as you can. And being in the workplace is such a golden opportunity to do that, because you're surrounded by people that may not ever, like you said, step inside a church until you show them how much God loves them by the way that you honor him with your work.
Yeah. Should we, this is going away from the workplace, but I have a question for you.
Okay.
People will boycott Chick-fil-A.
Sure.
Because they don't believe it. They don't agree with their beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Should, as a Christian, should we boycott a place that we don't think agrees?
Oh, my word. That's a really difficult thing. Our family has decided to not participate in certain, well, I'll just give you an example. I think God convicts people in different ways, and I think you need to honor whatever that conviction is. Is it Paul that kind of says, you know, if it's wrong for you, then it's wrong. Don't do it. But that doesn't necessarily mean God has called someone else. It's a lot of not black and white issues.
Right.
But for instance, something that is really close to our heart in our family is the issue of abortion. And so there have been a lot of companies recently that have pledged money that they get from their profit to fight heartbeat bills in certain areas. I think in the state of Georgia, that they have passed a bill where if you can detect a fetal heartbeat, you are not going to, you can no longer have an abortion.
Right.
Which protects babies basically at about 6 weeks, because that's when you can find a heartbeat on a on an ultrasound. And so there are organizations such as Netflix who have decided, okay, this is not, and not only are they like, we're not going to film our movies there, it's we're taking our profits and we're putting those profits toward fighting this.
Towards fighting the,
right,
against it.
Right. And so we have been really open with our boys and said, okay, here's what's going on with this. What do you think we should do? Just so that they can, because they really have compassionate hearts about that issue, outside of what they just can't understand how anyone could want to do that. But so that we as a family decided we're not going to support Netflix. Now, are there other organizations that possibly do that and I'm unaware of it? Sure. And we might be, you know, giving money toward them unknowingly, but we know, you know, we can't unknow that and just keep giving money. So, well, but it's difficult because almost every organization out there supports something that we don't agree
with.
Well,
and I think that's how I kind of tie it back into work, you know, working for a place that believes that. Or so you have someone that works for Chick-fil-A who believes in Sunday being closed on Sundays. Well, what about another company that doesn't believe in closing on Sundays and in fact wants you to work on Sundays? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that the right or wrong of working on Sunday, but I think you have a good point. It's what in your heart, mm-hmm. you know, God is telling you is right or wrong. And it's the same way with work.
Right.
Because if everybody, quote, boycotted certain places as far as work and wouldn't work at them, then those places would never, you know, have that positive impact or have, you know, see Jesus at work, mm-hmm. in worth ethics.
Yeah. It's kind of a sticky thing, but yeah, you definitely, it's something you want to make sure you're talking to God about, like, God, what is it you would have me do? Because Jesus talks about on the Sabbath, you know, if your animal fell in a hole, would you not go and pick it out? So there are jobs that are absolutely necessary to work on Sunday. And there are some that may not be necessary, but God might say, you know what? I want you to Sabbath, but it doesn't have to be Sunday.
It could be a different day. Yeah.
And so just, I think Sabbathing in general, is necessary. I think we're really bad at it as a society, as a church. not just our church, just church, universal church. I think we don't take the time to completely understand it, but making it a priority. Think about the witness, just that would be that, like, setting a day aside in your week to Sabbath. I think that could really, like, rock some people's worlds. Like, why do you do that?
Yeah.
It's just a lifestyle, a lifestyle choice that not many people understand. One of the things I did want to bring up and just get your thoughts on is, do you notice when work is created in the scheme of creation? Pre-fall, after fall? Do you know when it was?
Do I know when work was created?
Yeah. God asked Adam to till the ground, I believe, before the fall. So it's
sure
work is not a result of sin.
And it might not be
toilsome work.
Yeah, it might not have been difficult work, but he named all the animals.
Well, even taking care of the garden, but
I know, but so yeah, he worked.
Yeah. So toilsome work is a result of the fall, but work in and of itself, I think, is something that we will be doing even in heaven. I think it will be part of our everyday life.
I agree.
Which I think is kind of neat to think about that, because I think sometimes it's drudgery. People don't see it as a...
Right. Well, and Paul, you know, Paul wrote to be faithful in your work as if you're doing it for God.
And he continued to
work
while he...
Himself, even when he was going traveling and mm-hmm. doing ministry. Proverbs says a lot about work.
Mm-hmm.
The one who doesn't work shouldn't eat.
Right.
I mean, the Bible says a lot about work.
Yeah, and your attitude toward work. Anyway, so I think my whole desire in discussing this was just to encourage people out there to be renewed in their zeal for loving God through the careers he's given them.
And to be faithful to that.
Mm-hmm.
And to let biblical principles guide them in what they do. And sometimes it's difficult. You have to take a stand against, you know, probably more often than not, you take a stand against.
Yeah.
And sometimes you stand alone.
Yeah. But if you're out there and you're wondering, is my work meaningful? Is it God honoring? I think your attitude toward it and the way that you do your work makes it important and God honoring. And grab your Bible
and go for it.
Do a word study on work.
I did have a positive experience with you. We were talking about Chick-fil-A. So Chick-fil-A, yeah, but this isn't about Chick-fil-A, but you were talking about Chick-fil-A. And one of the things they talk about, of course, if you say thank you, they say my pleasure.
My pleasure, yes.
And like you said, they teach their employees to be servants.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about with their guest service going the second mile. And I did a customer service workshop with a company that I used to work for called Second Mile Service. And it was a team of about six or eight of us.
Okay.
That did it. And I never told him kind of where I got it. Didn't get it from Chick-fil-A. It comes from the Bible.
Right.
When Jesus said, if a man asks you to walk 1 mile with him, walk two.
Yeah.
And we talked about in the customer service, how going that second mile is where you really get to know someone, where you really develop that relationship with your customers, since we're talking about customer service. Well, we had to present this at a big national sales meeting, and which, you know, I was fine with that. I didn't think it was any big deal. But then I found out that one of the main consultants for our parent company was there. So this is a big, you know,
big deal.
One of the big guys is there in this meeting. And one of the things in this seminar or workshop or whatever, When we did the intro to it, I talked about, and I titled it, I just said, in ancient times, it was said, if a man asked to walk, you know, 1 mile with him, walk two. I didn't say Jesus said, I just said in ancient times it was said. And then we went on and we presented a thing. And then at dinner, or pre-dinner, kind of drinks and hors d'oeuvres or whatever, before dinner, this gentleman came up to me. I had never talked to him, I had never been in any situation where, and he's like, really liked your workshop that you led and everybody did. And, you know, I was like, well, everybody worked on it, you know, went down that road. And he's like, that quote you said about in ancient times, he's like, Jesus said that, didn't he? You know, I was like, okay, here it comes. You know, my work life flashed before my eyes. I don't work here anymore. Right. I'm done. You know, I'm out of here. This is it. Because I wasn't working for a bad company, but it wasn't Chick-fil-A. You know,
right.
So I just thought nothing good's going to come from this. But I was like, yes, he did. He did say that. And this guy, he's like, that's just great that you use that as an example. He's like, servant leadership is what we need more of in our company, in every company. I just wanted to commend you for bringing that into our company. So, and my point of that is not that something good's always going to happen, but even when you think, and this guy, I did find out later on, he was not a Christian. Because then I started asking around, about him. Well. But it just, even when you think that nothing good can come of it, God can use, I don't know that he necessarily used it. I don't want to get that.
That's really like planting seeds.
Yeah. And he can protect you and he can make it work out.
Mm-hmm.
He can take what you're doing and use it for his purpose. Not that every time you say something like that, something bad couldn't happen. But just, I just say that kind of of as an encouragement to people not to be afraid, because I was afraid. I was like, and actually, the whole time we were doing it, I was like, this could backfire.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But even if it did, like you followed, like kind of what we were talking about with Netflix. You know, you have to do what God is calling you to do.
Yeah.
And trust him with the results. In your workplace especially. You know, you have no idea what the words that you say or, you know, even if there was a situation where, because I'm not going to sit here and promise you that everything's going to work out well exactly. with you in your career.
Exactly.
If you, you know, are a servant leader and you try to follow biblical principles, but just trusting God with the results, because his story is so much bigger than what we see daily.
Right.
Thanks for sharing that, though.
Hey, thanks, Lacey. Thanks for talking about faith in the workplace.
Yeah.
This was fun.
It was fun.
So we will catch you all next time. And in the meantime, just be faithful.
Mm-hmm. Be faithful.
In what you do. And ask God to guide you and bless you and trust the results to him.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks for listening, everyone. And we will talk to you again soon. God bless you. Mm-hmm.